Brother Henry Davis Jr., sermon title, Uniquely Qualified. Scripture is 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. Scripture reader, Gary Turnbull. Presiding at the Lord's table, Charles Hopkins Jr. and Nick Ciamantero. Closing prayer, Greg Newton. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer, please? Father, we are thankful for this day, for this time you've given us to come together for our worship service, and for every opportunity, Father, that we have to serve thee. May thy blessing, Father, be upon all who are here today, to bless each person, Father, in a special way, as well as those who had a desire to be here but were unable. And Father, we're praying that as the invitation song is sung, those who have a need to respond will do so. Be with us now, Father, in this service unto thee. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
First song will be 583. 583 is through the first, second, fourth verse.
I am thine, O Lord, and I heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious pleading side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious pleading side. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious pleading side.
Form prayer is right across the page, 585.
Nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Eat all with me across that raises me. Still, all my soul shall be nearer
Bow with me in prayer. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. Lord, we're just so humble and thankful, Father, that you've blessed each and every one of us here, Lord, with another day of life and the physical health and strength and the mental wherewithal to rise up out of our beds this morning, Father, that we can openly assemble together and that we can worship Thee in spirit and in truth here this morning, Lord. Our Father, we are so thankful for our body of Christ here, for the family of God that we have here at Cross Street, Father. We're thankful for all of our elders, Father, our brother Long and Baldwin and Bowen. We're thankful for our deacon, Brother Gatewood, and all the work that our leaders do around here, Father. We're thankful for all of our teachers, Lord, and all those, Father, that help to perform the work of the body here, Father. We know it takes all the members of the body working together to have one fully functioning unit, Father. And we just pray, Lord, that you continue to bless our congregation here, Father. Help us to grow in faith and love, Lord, that we can ultimately become better and stronger Christians all together, Father, and might bring more lost souls unto thy kingdom. Our Father, we pray this morning that you bless our brother Davis, Father, as he's going to stand before us and bring us another portion of thy word this morning, Father. We pray that you bless him, Lord, with a good remembrance of the things that he's studied and prepared to talk to us about this morning, Father. We pray, Lord, that we'd all have a good and open, receptive heart to the message, that we'd let the words from thy scriptures prick our heart, Father. And we pray, Lord, that if there be those in attendance this morning that are subject to thy invitation in any way, that you might bless them with the courage to make those needs known as you blessed them with the opportunity to do so with your grace is extended just a little while longer. Our Father, we're also mindful of all those that were mentioned as sick, Father. We pray that whatever their ailments might be, Lord, physical or mental, emotional, especially spiritual, fathers. We're all ill spiritually from time to time, but we just pray, Lord, that you'd wrap your arms around those that were mentioned, Father, that you'd bless them, bless those that render care unto them, Father, and that if it be your will, you might bless them to be restored to their normal portion of health and strength, and they might be able to come back and be with us here again, Father. Our Lord, we're also so thankful, Father, for all the many blessings of life that you've richly bestowed upon each and every one of us, Father. They're really too numerous to even count, Father, but we're so thankful to thee, and we know that that all these things flow from thee, Father. And Lord, we're most thankful for your grace and love, Father, the grace and love that manifested itself in descending thy Son upon this earth, Father, to live the perfect life that he did, set the example that he did, Father, and ultimately his willingness to go to the cross, Father, become that perfect Lamb of God, the shedding of his blood, which cleanses us from all unrighteousness, Lord, if we obey thy gospel. And we're so thankful for Christ Jesus, Father, and all that he's done for us. We just pray, Father, that as Christians, as we live our lives, Father, the actions that we do, the deeds and the words, all of it will be a constant and daily reflection of our thankfulness for Christ. And Lord, as we continue with our worship this morning, Father, we just pray that you continue to bless each and every one of us here, Father. We pray that all might be done decent and in order, and that would be most pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Father. We pray, Lord, that you'd forgive us of our sins and shortcomings as we do our best to grow our faith, to turn away from those things, to do them no more, Lord. Father, we just ask that you'd be with us all, Father, continue to guide us and bless us and lead us, Father. And Lord, we ask these and all things in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Before partaking of the communion service, let's sing number 579. 579. My Jesus, I love of thee, I know thou art mine. For thee, in heaven so bright.
As we come together in preparation of partaking the Lord's Supper here in the year 2023, we are to partake of the Lord's Supper in the same manner and the same exact manner that it was on the night of Jesus' betrayal when it was first instituted. And we can look to the Scripture. You look to the Scripture and see how our Heavenly Father knows the flaws of this world, the tendencies of people. That we can, especially in this day and age where people want to change up everything to fit a certain agenda. And it's instructed in the Scripture to, as we come together to partake of this Lord's Supper, in the same manner, each and every first day of the week, to come together on the first day of the week, as we can read in Acts 27. And that's why here at the Ypsilanti Church of Christ, by each and every first day of the week, we first preside so that we do not just rush into taking the Lord's Supper. That we give each and every Christian here an opportunity to first reflect, to clear your minds. Once again, knowing how the tendencies of people to have our minds on something else, to be thinking of something else. This gives us opportunity to clear our minds, to make sure that we are reflecting on the right thing. And that was that sacrifice that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ made on our behalf. And so that we can partake of this in a worthy manner, as you can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 27 through 32. So at this time, we are going to give thanks for the two emblems. We have the bread, which represents his body, and we have the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this opportunity, Heavenly Father, to come together, to fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to come together in remembrance of thy Son's sacrifice, Heavenly Father, knowing that he gave his life, he was without sin, Heavenly Father, that he so loved this world that he was willing to endure the punishment, the humiliation that he had to endure, Heavenly Father, to ultimately give his life, a life that he gave on his own free will, Heavenly Father, so that we may have that hope of eternal salvation. We just pray at this time, Heavenly Father, as we're about to partake of this bread, which represents thy Son's body, that we'll do so in a manner that'll be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Dear Lord, we thank you for the wonderful gift that you provided for us. We thank you that our Lord Jesus, he wore the crown of thorns on his head, knowing that he was a king. We thank you that he took the stripes that were meant for us. We thank you that he was pierced and he bled for us. Father, we thank you that he indeed rose again on the third day that we might be saved from sin. Father, we thank you for such a wonderful gift. And now, Father, we remember him by partaking of the fruit of the vine, which represented that blood that was shed for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
If anyone has been overlooked during the partaking of the Lord's Supper, if you'll raise your hand. Anyone else has been, if any, raise hands. I see no hands. We have another portion of our worship service, which is giving. And once again, the Heavenly Father, knowing the tendencies of people, knowing that as we give, some people might not have the right mindset or might not give in the proper manner. And having a scripture that we can turn to, 2 Corinthians 9:7, to know the proper way in which we should give. So as we prepare to give back, to be thankful for the many blessings that we have received from our Heavenly Father, let us keep that in mind as we about to pray. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to rise from this bed this morning, Heavenly Father, for watching over us each and every day of our lives, each and every minute of the day, Heavenly Father, each and every second of the day, keeping us safe, Heavenly Father, continually blessing us, Heavenly Father, forgiving us of our sins, Heavenly Father, helping us to become better Christians, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, for giving us all of our skills, giving us the ability, the will to go out, to work, Heavenly Father, to be able to provide for all those that we love. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we prepare to give back, portion of the many blessings that you have given us, Heavenly Father. We pray that we will do so in a manner that is in accordance to thy will, that is in accordance to thy scripture. For this we ask for in thy son Jesus' name. Amen.
Song of invitation after the lesson this morning, 572. 572. And then before the lesson in our scripture reading, let's sing 574. Give me thy heart, says the Father above. No gift so precious to him as our love. Softly he whispered wherever thou art, gratefully trust me and give me thy heart. Give me thy heart. Give me thy heart, hear the soft whisper wherever thou art. From this dark world he would draw thee apart, speaking so tenderly, give me thy heart. Give me thy heart, says the Savior of men, calling in mercy again and again. Turn now from sin and from evil depart. Have I not died for thee? Give me thy heart. Give me thy heart. Hear the soft whisper wherever thou art. From this dark world he would draw thee apart, speaking so tenderly, give me thy heart. Give me thy heart, says the Spirit divine, all that thou hast to my keeping resign. Grace more abounding is mine to impart, make full surrender and give me thy heart. Give me thy heart, give me thy heart, hear the soft whisper wherever.
this dark world he would draw thee apart, speaking so tenderly, give me thy heart, give me thy heart, give me thy heart, hear the soft whisper wherever thou art. Dark world, he would draw thee apart, speaking so tenderly, give me thy
morning, church family. Scripture lesson is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. May we all receive the word from Brother Davis, and may it help us in any way it can. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Gary. Good morning, church. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord on this bright, sunny Sunday morning. It's good to be here, be in front of you, be able to give another portion of God's word. And winter is back, right? We know that. You know, nice drive-in today. I'm glad to see those that was able to make it this morning. I'd like to welcome you all and welcome those who are joining us online, as well as our visitors. If you're visiting with us this morning, we are so glad to see you. We want to say you are our honored guests, and that after service is over, we ask that you don't leave, but give us an opportunity to meet you. We pray that so far our service to you has been encouraging, uplifting, and edifying to you. And again, to God be the glory, to be able to be here this morning, to be able to have praises to him, sing praises to him, be able to pray, and be able to give another portion of his word. I want to take the time this morning to encourage each and every one of you to take a moment out of your day, each and every day, to stop and just stop and count your blessings. Count your blessings. You know, we serve a mighty, powerful, and holy God, and we should thank him daily for the many great things he's done for us. You know, Ephesians 1 and 3 reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual things in heavenly places in Christ." And Psalms 40 and 5 reads, "Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are usward, they cannot be reckoned up on order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." In other words, you, Lord God, have done many wonderful things, and you have planned marvelous things for us. None is like you. I would never be able to tell all you have done. You know, we live in a world right now where people spend so much time concerning themselves with the trials and the tribulations of this world, they don't take the time. They don't take the time to stop and marvel at all the wonderful things that God has done for them. And I know that everyone here in our audience today has gone through something, some sort of shortcoming of some level of discomfort in their lives. And yet, here we sit. You know, we can always think about the things that we want to lament over. You know, we can talk about the economy. We can talk about, you know, the world as it's going on. We can talk about politics. We can talk about $7 eggs a dozen if we want to. But there's always something that we can lament on, right? We sing a hymn here often. Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. See, we want to always, like I said, lament a situation and question why something has happened to us. And then we want to stop and wonder why that same thing didn't happen to somebody else. Well, if we read Ecclesiastes 8, it would tell us, they would call such a thing vanity. It's things that we're concerning ourselves with this world. You know, that we got so much good, but we want to always focus in on the bad. I want to give you like a something like an umpire or a referee analogy. You know, you could be watching a game or something, and you don't see no bad calls or anything. The game is going great. But if there's one bad call in that game, that's all anybody's talking about. Could be the best game you ever seen, but what's everybody talking about? Oh, that ref was terrible. But we kind of do that same thing in life, don't we? We can have so many good things go for us and go well for us and been blessed in so many ways. But that one thing or that two things we hang on to, we need to take that time and count our blessings. Colossians 3:2 says, we are not to concern ourselves with such things. Instead, set your minds on things that are above, not on things on this earth. We are to maintain our faith. We are to continue to pray. We are to never be anxious for nothing in the ways of the Lord. Isaiah 41:10 would tell us, for fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that you should all reach repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. So count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. So this morning, church, we're going to talk about qualifications. We're going to talk about what we think about, or what I think about when we think about qualifications. When I think about qualifications, the first thing that jumps into my mind is maybe a job application or a resume. You know, when you're applying for a job or when we submit an application or a resume, we always see the same specifications on a resume or a job application, don't we? We see experience. We see, you know, you got to have a certain level of education, you know, special skills and talents, and, you know, what kind of character do you have, and what references do you bring, you know? When it comes to being uniquely qualified by God, the same specifications on a resume may exist, however, applied quite differently by our Lord than how man or the world may apply them. So let's look at a few of these. So when we think about experience, for an example, a job interviewer would want to know if you were successful in the past performing a task required to do a job. You know, how long have you been able to do this certain thing? What kind of view, like for example, computer training, how long have you been doing this? How well-versed are you in Word or Excel, if you will? You know, something along that way. A job will require a specific level of education. You must at least achieve, at the very least, a high school diploma, at the very most, maybe a PhD, depending upon what it is you would have to, what you are trying to accomplish in this job. You know, a skill level or anything extraordinary about you that sets you apart from other job candidates. Any disparaging marks about your past, according to man, would disqualify you from getting this particular job. So under this pretense, you know, that what we're talking about here, let's take a look at some job candidates, if you will, and see if they would fit the mold, if you will, of the job that's out there that man would have us to try to get. So I'm going to play a little bit of role play here. I'm going to be an interviewer, if you will, a HR rep that's saying, you know, to a candidate, looking at him and saying, you know, sir, we're looking for a builder that can follow specific instructions. However, sir, I see here that your son found you passed out drunk and naked, so I'm sorry, we can't use you. So think about that a minute. So you're saying this person's been disqualified. So I'm going to go on to the next candidate. The next candidate, I say, sir, we're looking for someone to lead a mass of people a great distance. However, I see here that you're very hesitant to do this task, so we're going to look elsewhere. Okay. So one more. Sir, we're looking for someone to be a teacher of many who is true to his word, even under duress, and I'm sorry, we have some reservations about your character. We're going to have to move on from you. So this really sounds like three people that, you know, really kind of messed themselves up, right? But I'm going to tell you right now that I am describing three biblical characters. So character number one. Okay, sir, we found you drunk and your son found you drunk and naked, so we can't use you. That was Noah. You go to Genesis 9 and 23, right after he had built the ark to specific instructions that God had given him. Okay, the scriptures goes on to say in Genesis 9:23, Noah got drunk and passed out and naked, and his son found him. Okay, but he built the ark. He was uniquely qualified by God, not by man. Let's go to the next candidate. Okay, he said, sir, we need someone who needs to be a good speaker, a leader of people, and you don't fit that mold. That was Moses. Go to Exodus 4:10-14. Moses was not a good speaker. Had asked God to get somebody else to do what he was purposed to do. But what did he do? He led God's people out of Egypt. Isn't that something? Okay? And the third character we want to talk about, okay? They said his character was a little bit sketchy, so they was going to have to move him along. That was the Apostle Paul. Go to Acts 9. You know, where it says Paul reveled in the persecution of Christians. But we know now about Paul what? That he was credited for writing most of the epistles of the New Testament. Great men of the Bible, but will be disqualified by men based upon certain qualifications. This is why where there are limits to what we see. See, what we see is only on the surface of an individual. Okay, if mankind believes that we are flawed in any way, we are immediately disqualified from considerations. However, with God, who knew us from the beginning and who can turn our flaws into our strengths and has not disqualified, on the contrary, he has made us what? Uniquely qualified to serve his purpose. So now let's look at scripture a little bit more. It clearly tells us that, you know, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. So the question has to be, how then are we uniquely qualified to serve the Lord? Well, see, what God did was he leveled the playing field, if you will, that no man is perfect. You know, we all have flaws. We've all sinned. Scripture tells us that it says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's in 1 John 1:8. And since no man is perfect, then there has to be a desire in the hearts of man to want to do what is right. We kind of talked about this a little bit this morning and last week in Sunday school about being pure of heart and not being of the world, which is kind of wicked and deceitful and all of these certain things. Proverbs 21:2-3 reads, a person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. To do that, to do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. So God knows our heart's desire to do what's right, even when we or it, the heart, doesn't. So what I'm saying is the Lord knows our heart even when we don't do right, Even when we know we're supposed to do right and we don't. You can read that in Romans 7 and 15. You know, we kind of look at the story of David when we talk about a man after his own heart. We're talking about God, talking about David, the King David. We know that in 1 Samuel he said that, but we know also from Scripture that David, that we know of, broke at least three of the commandments right off the top. We know that he bared false witness. We know that he killed. We know that he coveted his neighbor's wife, right? But this was a man that God used, even with his flaws, to be one of the greatest kings of Judea, one of the greatest characters in the Bible. So what I'm saying is when the outward man fails, God uses these failures for his glory. I, the Lord, search the heart and test of the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Jeremiah 17 and 10. So why? So now we know how we are uniquely qualified. So why are we uniquely qualified? Why are we uniquely qualified? Ephesians 2, 1 and 10 says, in the past you were dead because you sinned and you fought against God. You followed the ways of his world and obeyed the devil. He rules the world, and his spirit has power over everyone who doesn't obey God. Once we were also ruled by the selfish desires of our bodies and minds, we had made God angry, and we were going to be punished like everyone else. But God was merciful. We were dead because of our sins, but God loved us so much that he made us alive with Christ. And God's gift of undeserved grace is what saves you. God raised us from death to life with Jesus Christ, and he has given us a place besides Christ in heaven. God did this so in the future world we could show how truly good and kind he is to us because of what Jesus Christ had done. You were saved by faith in God, who treats us much better than we deserve. This is God's gift to you. And anything you have done on your own, God's gift to you, and go back again, and not anything you have done on your own. Verse 9, it isn't something you have earned, so there is nothing you can brag about. God planned for us to do good things and to live as he always wanted us to live. This is why he sent Christ to make us what we are. He sent Christ. This is why we're uniquely qualified. He sent Christ to save us from sin, to save us from the world. This is why we're uniquely qualified. Not that we're not going to sin, but we are saved from it. The desires of our heart is to do what is right. 1 Corinthians 6 and 20 says, for we are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God within your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Which are God. So we belong to God. This is why we're uniquely qualified. This is why in our hearts we desire to do good. So that's what makes us, uniquely qualified to serve the Lord? So this is how we are uniquely qualified. That is what makes us uniquely qualified. And this is what makes us uniquely qualified to serve the Lord. The ability to trust him and above ourselves. Proverbs 3, 5, and 7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into your own understanding, and always acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. The ability to have faith and patience in his timing. That's in 2 Peter and also in Romans 8 and 28. And we go on, it's the ability to strive daily to do everything that he wants. And he wants us to do. That's in 1 Peter 1, 14 through 16. The ability to serve the Lord to love the Lord with all of our hearts, thanking him for his grace and his mercy. We will fail daily. We must ask for forgiveness and continue to move forward. Matthew 22 and 17, the ability to live peacefully among the brethren as a Christian. This is what makes us uniquely qualified. The love of God makes believers uniquely qualified to serve him. Scripture says, what shall we then say to these things? If God what be for us, then who shall be against us? He has spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth, who is he that commandeth. It is Christ that died, rather yea, he that is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? It is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things, nor presence, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor other creature shall be able to separate us from the love which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, 31 through 39. So God uses the talents and the skills that he gave us to glorify his name despite our laws. Why is he able to do that? Because God is able. Why is he able to do that? Because God is able. He is able to make all grace abound towards you. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. He's able to keep that which you've committed unto him against the day. 2 Timothy 1 and 12. He is able to build you up. Acts 20 and 32. He's able to subdue all things. Philippians 3 and 21. He is able to make you uniquely qualified to live life everlasting. And he is the only reference that you will ever need. You don't need any other references. You only need the one. And that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So even though, you know, I started talking this morning, count your blessings. Understand that we're all in this together. But if we have a desire to do what's right, if we have a desire to do what the Lord's word tells us to do, we are uniquely qualified. Not just live on this earth, but to live life everlasting. In spite of our flaws, we are uniquely qualified to serve the Lord. There's a songwriter that put it best when he said, Lord, why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quite and all the never get it rights. But it turns out they're the ones you, oh God, were looking for all this time. Moses had stage fright. David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of this story is, everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear the devil start talking to me saying, who do you think you are? I'll say, I'm just a nobody. Trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since he rescued me, he gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see. Nobody but Jesus. We are uniquely qualified. And so, church, if you are here this morning and you're not a member of the Lord's church, if you're not yet a part of the uniquely qualified, the question is simple. What must I do to be saved? Understand that God has already done his part by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for the remission of sin, that whoever shall believe it and is baptized shall be saved. Your part, if you so choose. Understand, you've just heard his word. Believe in his word. Repent your sins. Confess faith that Jesus is Lord and be baptized. And you will come up out of that water and walk in the newness of life. And God then adds you to his church. Acts 4 and 27, not by vote of man, but God alone adds you to his church. if you're already a Christian, for whatever reason, you strayed away. Understand, God rejoices when you come back home. You are part of the uniquely qualified. All you need to do is come on back home. If you are in need of prayer, as always, prayer works. Prayer works. Prayer works. May God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So whatever your needs this morning, we ask that you make them known, come forward, have a seat on the first pew, as together we all stand and sing the song of invitation.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasure all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
I'd like to thank our brother Davis for his sermon this morning. Uniquely qualified. And indeed we are as Christians. Really, really good sermon from our brother Davis. Also this morning, on behalf of our congregation, I want to welcome any visitors that we have here with us this morning. I don't believe that we had any visitors' cards turned in. We may have one or two out there with us, though, and we just want you to know that you're honored guests this morning, and we always want to make sure, Brother Davis said at Ypsilanti Church of Christ, that get a chance to meet you, and of course, always extend that invitation to that you come back and worship the Lord here with us again. I don't believe that we have any other announcements this morning. Brother Gatewood did want me to mention, I think the parking lots are, the sidewalks are got some salt on them, but the parking lots will still be pretty slick. So just please be careful when you're making it out to your vehicle, and of course, pulling up the slope to cross 32 when it's slick like this. So please be careful. And also, just wanted to mention again, big congratulations to the Tillmans and the Longs in birth this week of their new grandson and son, Jackson. Very, very happy to hear that. Blessed that everything went well there. I believe our brother Greg Newton is going to dismiss us in prayer this morning. So as he makes his way down, we'll just mention, of course, that let's remember, brothers and sisters, to keep on praying for all those that we had mentioned being in need, as well as all those that we've got listed on our sick and prayer list in the bulletin. There's a lot of folks that are in need right now, so let's be sure to keep on praying for them.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day that you have blessed us with to come and worship thee. We ask you, dear Lord, that we remind ourselves that how unique we are as Christians to be able to come and worship thee. Our Heavenly Father, we ask thee that as we leave and go out to the world, that we will show our Christianity to lead others to thee. For as this world, the only thing that all that matters is when we die, we will be rewarded in heaven with thee. Heavenly Father, help us to be safe until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.